thirsty.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapists with Tea podcast. Together, we will be discussing systemic and individual practices in mental health care for anti-oppressive healing and psychoeducation. My name is Emily. I am an RDMT in the state of New Jersey and in the state of New York. My co-host, Kirsten, is an RDMT in Oregon. The two of us studied at Pratt Institute together in Brooklyn and New York City. Today's topic will be my thesis, which is titled Increasing Body Autonomy Through a Restorative Practice, a Heuristic Study of How Bartenieff's Fundamentals Aid and Restore the Body in Co-Regulation with Social Media. Mouthful.
Boom. Mic drop.
Boom. So what does all of that mean? So essentially, having the awareness to make more deliberate choices using dance movement therapy to regulate the nervous system. Thoughts about that?
Thoughts about that. Oh, I love it already. I mean, I think you're going to just give us such a plentiful episode. Just with that starter, I think that's a lovely place to kind of launch ourselves into it. Give us some gold nuggets, Emily.
The gold nuggets, I think, for me, came from questions. So questioning, like, what am I consuming? My algorithm. Do I listen to my body? How does social media interact with my body? And lastly, does my body and mind's experience with social media perhaps translate over to me in my workplace? Does my body become dysregulated by my workplace? And do I honor my needs? Does my workplace honor my needs?
Yes.
The purpose of the study was to reconnect via sensing of the body to its intrinsic rhythms and honor needs through the usage of Bartenieff fundamentals to aid in restoring autonomy that can challenge its desire for productivity and diffuse the anxiety that can occur when doom scrolling. Doom scrolling.
Oh, okay. Let's get into maybe a little bit of the fundies, because you mentioned that a little bit. Would you mind kind of?
So I was just going to say, I don't want to totally get into the fundies just yet, because I know we're going to do a whole episode on fundies probably right in the future. But for like, essentially like a Bartenieff fundamentals, like for beginners 101, it is like essentially a movement pattern that is used in physical therapy practices and dance movement therapy practices to increase mobility, functionality, strengthening, self-expression, self-exploration. I don't know. Do you think I missed anything?
No, I think you got it. I just wanted to make sure for context purposes that we were getting that little nugget in there.
Right. I want folks to know sort of like the bare bones idea of like what the Bartenieff fundamentals are, but I know you and I will probably cover them down the road too. But feel free to define Bartenieff fundamental purposes on our Instagram post.
Ooh, yes. Yes, I love that.
Weigh in. So essentially, this thesis was about ways dance movement therapy promotes connection and awareness of the body on a very, very basic fundamental level. And how can you increase autonomy and choice through restorative practices like Bartenieff fundamentals? So I am going to get into my results section before I go into the procedure, because I want folks to know what was gathered before I even talk about how, just to give you a little taste.
The results found
how a rhythmic repetition of scrolling limits somatic awareness and can disrupt mood. The clinical implications of this study suggest that the utilization of Bartenia fundamentals aid and restores autonomy that social media can disintegrate at times. Big, big disclaimer, though. This study speaks much to the harm of white silence, which is a concept that when a person who identifies as white or looks white is silent in the face of injustice, which was, I believe, coined in 2003 by Watts Johnson. And it talks about like information accessibility and purposes of social media, as well as social media advocacy uses, which is a big, big part of this study, like talking about the why am I scrolling, the what am I scrolling for. As a quote part of the thesis, it states, silencing social media users eliminates information accessibility and forces those who are oppressed to remain oppressed in this form. Social media can serve as a form of activism via advocacy. It can also increase micro-learning and nano-learning, because social media serves as a socio-political platform to offer awareness and to address the oppressive practices that have become calcified, which can be then used to promote education. So it's like, how do I learn via social media, and how do I use social media? What is my body doing when I'm on social media, on a social level? Which is why the title incorporates the word co-regulation and not just regulation. We are regulating ourselves, and so is the internet, so is the media, so is how I interact with the media, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, not to interject, but like how media like interacts with itself too, because I don't know if this is like real life, but I've heard that like, you know, if you're in a room with somebody and their algorithm is a certain way, it like communicates with your algorithm, which then means that the people you hang out with, the people you hear certain conversation topics with, it like, you know, connects those two dots. And then you continue to see the same content as the people you're around. So that limits your capacity to see things out of your comfort zone, which is just so, so interesting how technology is like doing that.
Yes.
For us. Yeah, already.
And on a technological level, and also to the point of like, we are human beings as well interacting with this media. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's a platform, it is a space, it is a interweb space. Mm-hmm. But it's also people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That make up that space, that take up that space.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then people that control it, you know, not only are we the ones that make it exist, but they're like control, like the whole algorithm, the whole space.
Yes.
That is fascinating.
That monitor it, that control it, control. Sorry. That word is just so thick.
It is, yeah.
Control.
I wonder too, you were talking about like kind of somatic like dissonance, I think is the word you use, maybe not, but like when you're scrolling, you just kind of forget about your body awareness.
Yeah.
How would you describe that like for yourself?
Ooh, we will talk more about that too, but
okay, I'm jumping ahead. I apologize.
No, I love it. I love that you're jumping ahead, because it shows that there's so much that you could talk about with this topic. Mm-hmm. And of course, this study is one body, naming that as well. But the results that I found also speak to, I'll talk about it in this discussion, but like, where is it? Dissociation, circadian rhythm and external stimuli. Somatic awareness and time. We'll get into that into the discussion section, but we're almost there.
I'm there. I'm listening.
So, the basis of this thesis was looking at how often occurring in larger structures, corporations, laws, the practice of questioning lifelong learning and expansion is not seen. There are other studies that show this kind of like calcification process of being a part of a larger system and sort of like diminishing the self to become part of a whole, which can be useful and also harmful, right? Mm-hmm. And all folks, you know, all things in between as well. But there can exist a disaffinity between fully honoring the self and its sensations. And this ultimately minimizes or eliminates variation within a held structure, like a larger workforce, a hospital, et cetera. So this study explores a deep sense of urgency in my body and the purpose of the urgency. Knowing that sense of urgency is a characteristic of white supremacy and kind of wanting to explore that within myself and dismantle it within myself. So using prolonged scrolling on social media, this urgency was witnessed and explored to understand why there exists anxiety, depression when my movement is limited. And the hypothesis talks about how to regain autonomy of the self using dance movement therapy principles to explore why I was co-regulating with social media. And then I'm going to define co-regulation as a process where two individuals in a relationship can help each other regulate their emotions and more effectively manage stress. So co-regulating the nervous system, for example, a hug. When you hug somebody, your nervous system's interacting, they're communicating. They're speaking to one another. Kirsten, you talked about that in like a episode, like I want to say like one or two, where you were like, and that's our nervous systems communicating.
That's wild.
It is wild.
I love that. I also love that, you know, when you're holding somebody, the oxytocin that's released. Yeah. I remember you working at a youth program years ago, and we discussed that. And anytime the kids wanted a hug, they'd like open their arms and they'd scream out oxytocin. Like it was like, okay, like it was so cute. It was just like, I need it. I need that like chemical in my brain. It was adorable.
I love that. And that's psychoeducation right there. They're like, we know what's happening in my body when I do this. Like,
right.
I am empowered to hug you. And when I hug you, it empowers me. Like, there's right. So much in that. There's so much in that.
I think too, it also like signified in a way consent. It like taught the kids, you know, like if I want this, I can ask for it in a way that was like kind of fun and silly and wasn't as like, I guess blunt and honest. It was just like, I really want to hug right now. Yeah, very playful and very, very sweet and just wholesome. But yeah, I think that's wonderful. So I'm sorry, I've interrupted once again. I'm just so excited to hear about.
That's fine. I want your interruptions. Interrupt me, please, and thank you.
Okay.
So the methodology, just talking about the how. So why heuristic and what is heuristic? Mm-hmm. So the intent of heuristic studies is to discover relationships between variables as a way to generate ideas for future investigation. So like this research occurred in one body by one person curious about the experience in the vast pool of experiences. So I had the flexibility to research in a way that allowed for natural pauses, breaths, and I could maintain a heightened awareness to explore the relationship between scrolling on TikTok and Bartenia fundamentals as they relate to interoception, which I've talked about interoception before in an earlier episode, but I will define it here. So sensing the body's inner functions, like breathing, heartbeat, using the bathroom or needing to use the bathroom, hunger, etc. Sensing inside of the body in a way. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what did this experiment even look like? What happened? What did I do? What was the procedure? So I was scrolling on TikTok, the social media of choice, because it's short videos, you know, of all different content based on your algorithm. I would do this for an extended period of time. Then I would engage in Bartenya fundamentals, so moving the body, using the dance movement therapy practice to regulate, to explore, to ground. Then I would journal using Dr. Siegel's SIFT method. So sensations, talking about what are my sensations? What are the images that I'm seeing in my mind's eye? My feelings and my thoughts. So like, how did I feel in that moment? And what was I thinking about? And then lastly, as part of the journaling, how hard was it for me to leave the app? Did I have a desire to leave the app, or did I have a desire to stay on the app and continue to consume that sort of, I'm moving my arm forward in this kind of circling motion, but thinking of this like hypnotic, almost like vertigo feeling of scroll, right? Consume, pause, scroll. Am I pausing, etc. Yeah. And then lastly, I completed two questionnaires. I did a GAD-7 and a PHQ-9, which are anxiety and depression questionnaires, talking about over the past like 2 weeks, how was I feeling in terms of anxiety and how was I feeling in terms of depression? All of this was recorded and now lives on my SD card forever.
Amazing. I love that. I love that. And published on ProQuest. Is that right?
Yes. Mm. Correct. If you would like to read this, it will be published on ProQuest, and we'll have the link in our description.
I love that. I love okay, that. Okay.
So we have two more sections, just the discussion section. Actually, just one. This is the last section that I have for you, is the discussion section. So how does this sort of integrate my experience into DMT at large? So we talked about this already, the somatic awareness and time when scrolling, circadian rhythm, which dips into Kirsten's thesis as well, and that external stimuli. Yes. Crossover episode. We love that. It's like the Jimmy Timmy Power Hour from, what was it? Fairly Odd Parents.
Yes. And,
I just aged myself, but yeah, whatever.
That's all right. We're kind of doing like an opposite like outfit today too. We're Cosmo and Wanda today. For those of you who can't see us, we got the palettes just completely opposite.
This is true. I have a black shirt on. She has a white shirt on. I'm blonde. She's brunette. Like we're kind of just like doing that thing.
The visuals are here. The aesthetic is here.
I'm here for it. Okay. So circadian rhythm and external stimuli, which we talked about in Kirsten's thesis, but of course we will see this more and more and more as we just dive into more of the research, talk more, you know, about our thesis and et cetera. So dissociation when scrolling, how I used dance movement therapy to relocate the body, how dance movement therapy can be utilized for internal sensing work and sense back into the body to gain awareness of movements, both voluntary and involuntary. And one way we can do this is by utilizing interoception. So recognizing my body's rhythms, such as heartbeat, breathing, you know, even blinking, shifting the body and walking to aid in grounding. So ultimately, this became my practice, building upon my sense of autonomy with the media I was consuming, as well as how it lessened my ability to emotionally regulate. So working in an environment that aids burnout culture by perpetuating symptoms of dissociation increases the sense of urgency. So a sense of urgency within the workplace environment can be perpetuated by deadlines, working culture, and financial burdens placed on so many individuals in today's society. Living in American neo-capitalism during the time of a recession and a time when many folks are being denied human rights, there is an increasing cause for dissociation or some form of the body separation as the mind's form of safety to provide comfort and support. Holding space for folks who find comfort in dissociation, The study contributes to the field of DMT at large in an attempt to support those who find themselves in patterns of extended periods of consumption with the desire to navigate their own relationship to social media. That control, that word that we were using before. Mm-hmm. Control. Not necessarily controlling the self, having this control removed in a way. Mm-hmm. Being able mm-hmm. to navigate freely in a way that is defined by the person, by the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And not by the system that they work in or the system that they exist in, the system that they breathe in. Being able to sort of separate self in a way from any not separate self. I don't want to say separate self from dysregulation, but bring awareness to it.
Mm.
Bring awareness to it. And find the self's own form of support, whatever that means, along with community care and self-care and all the things in between. So how do I actively do this? This can be implemented by advocating for the ability to define and decide on reality and resources from being concentrated with the few most privileged to those most affected by power over system and to the collective. And that comes from The Politics of Trauma, which I referenced before by Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
So we will not always be regulated, thinking that we don't always have to have our systems regulated and fully in autonomy, but forcing folks into dysregulation and not honoring culture, individuality, and the body is oppressive. So this research aims to dismantle forced dysregulation using sense of urgency. So finally, with this research, I'm advocating for that shift in autonomy because it can serve as a means to empower folks to feel most present in themselves, challenge the feeling of sense of urgency if it's present, that is promoted by corporate productivity expectations, and advocate for more culturally sensitive practices in healthcare settings.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Beautifully said.
That is what I have for you today.
Oh my gosh. A round of applause. If I didn't have my microphone, I'd be clapping right now. Slow clapping. Okay.
Well, I love slow clap.
A slow golf clap. That's what we're going for. That's what I'm aiming for mentally. I love that you said comfort in disassociation.
Mm.
Like having, again, that word control over when you're kind of disassociating and taking that time for self-care. While also, I want to like challenge and question a little bit. What kind of content were you consuming? Was it educational? Was it, you know, because I find myself doom scrolling and 1 second it's like a comedy sketch and then the next is like a car crash. And I'm like, whoa, that was a big shift from like, you know, feeling like happy, like that's so funny to, oh my gosh, are they okay? Like it does feel a little like polar.
Man, so, I love that you asked that because, and this is why we're so similar. That was one of the questions in my held body and in my, you know, practice of social media that mm-hmm. started my questioning for the thesis as a whole, right? This mm-hmm. idea of consuming social media in this polarity, I'm going to use your word, right? Polar way, this way of like, consuming content that is sociopolitical, consuming a comedy sketch, consuming something that is promotional, consuming something that is educational, something that is, you know, all these different types of media back and forth and one right after the other. And, you know, how is my body co-regulating with this media? How is my body, you know, consuming this media? So not to sort of you know, negate the information accessibility, the usefulness, and the platform that social media is, and how does this interact with my body? So like both. And the media that I was consuming, I discussed that in the thesis. I talk about what was I consuming and what was maybe dysregulating my system, or what was maybe like calming my system.
Mm-hmm.
How was my system and how was my body affected by the media that I consumed?
Mm-hmm.
I think for that, I will leave it for folks to actually read the thesis of what was being consumed and how my body was affected by that, because I feel like that is the meat. Mm. I'm vegetarian, LOL. That is the meat of the research is talking about the what was consumed and the what happened in my body, knowing that this research can be, you know, utilized on so many other bodies and would have maybe perhaps a gajillion different results. I don't know. It hasn't been conducted.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I noted how media affected my body, knowing that not all dysregulation is bad, right? Quote unquote. We don't speak in binaries here on this podcast, but which is a binary in and of itself. but dysregulation not necessarily being a constant for some bodies, that there is just dysregulation all the time, right? Being an anxious mm-hmm. being or living with some kind of, you know, system dysregulation, and that is okay. And that can be part of the research as well, if it were to be conducted in different bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So much. There's so much that I could say, and I'm kind of just like rambling now, and I hope I sort of answered your question, but also like, I feel like that too is why, that would be the why I would want folks to read it, is for the purpose of understanding what happened in one body that mm-hmm. can now be taken out into other bodies existing in different societies, different cultures, different different backgrounds, different, you know, traumas, different experiences, so on and so forth. Because the research that's done in my body is not what's going to be, you know, the research that is conducted in someone who lives in a very different part of the country or the part of the globe, part of, you know,
mm-hmm.
part of this world. So.
And I think too, as you kind of discuss like other research, I would just be so curious to even scroll through other people's like social media, you know, to
yeah.
even my partner, when I like kind of look at like the stuff he's consuming, and I'm like, that is so different from what I get to look at, because he is so into cooking, and you know, he always gets like these like continuous like men cooking out in the forest, and I'm like, I never get people like out in the wilderness.
Wait, is it this guy? Is it this guy? Hello, buddy.
I think
does he get that guy? The guy that's like, hello, buddy, and he's just so calm and peaceful.
I think so. And he's like just out camping, making like these beautiful dishes. And I'm like sitting here like, I don't get that. I get like, you know, makeup tutorials and stuff like that. And sometimes I'm like, okay, relevant. But then I'm like, wait, I want more of that guy. I want some other stuff on my phone. I'd rather have it be a little more like, I don't know, I'd like a variety. And I think,
yeah.
You know, even thinking about different platforms too, I feel like when I look at Pinterest, for example, I get so much more inspired to create art, because there is so much art that kind of flourishes on my page.
Yes.
But then, you know, looking at TikTok, sometimes I get those little micro learnings and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I just like keep going because I'm like, there's more. I need more.
Yes, and that's part of it too, is that like, oh, there's more, like there's more that I can consume, there's more. So for me, I mean, I guess like this, like I'll just dip the toe in. That was part of the research as well, as this anxiety and this you know, desire to continue micro learning, nano learning, you know, how hard was it for me to leave the app? You know, that was part of it, is I want to continue learning. I want to continue consuming different perspectives, different, you know, media, things that do make me laugh, things that educate me sociopolitically, things that, you know, and we have access to this. That is, we have access to this. And one last thing, folks, there is a information going around right now talking about the potential ban of TikTok. Have you heard about this, Kirsten?
Vaguely. I don't have TikTok anymore, but I've heard about the ban. So
you don't have TikTok.
Give me the goods. Give me the goods.
Oh, okay. So and this again has also been over social media, but that there could be a TikTok ban. And who knows what's going to happen with this, but essentially, if you would like to, you know, contact your representatives about not banning TikTok due to information accessibility, please do so, because I feel like from everything that I've been stating, you know, talking about information accessibility, talking about it being a sociopolitical platform, a platform for information, a platform for, you know, art creation, expression, community building. You know, I know that there's a lot of toxicity on social media as well, but space for all, you know, space for all. And I think that a TikTok ban, you know, is going to limit a lot of information accessibility. And that is my, you know, personal thoughts and feelings after conducting research like this. So if you, you know, feel similarly, please do contact your representative to not have this TikTok ban happen, knowing your own, I guess, relationship with social media, et cetera, et cetera. There's so much that we could talk about when it comes to social media, but.
I feel like you're going to need a part two. This is so, so juicy. And I love that you're ending with like a political stance too, to say like, if you feel strongly about this, you know, there's something you can do. You can take action in a way that is fulfilling for yourself. And man, Emily's a badass, guys. Like, I just gotta say it. she's doing the work. She's putting her neck out there.
Uno reverse card. Oh. we always love an Uno reverse. Mm. Right back at you.
Thank you again.
And there's a lot to be, sorry, there's a lot to be done.
No, there is. There's a lot.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, we'll speak more about my thesis and Kirsten's thesis as we continue forward throughout the podcast. If you'd like to read it, please click on the URL in our description below. Kirsten, am I missing anything?
No, I think you covered everything. I'm just happy to be here. That's all.
I'm also happy to be here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Table is open with a seat for you. We are actively accepting submissions from other folks in the therapy field to join our podcast. Please visit our Instagram to get involved with our podcast as a guest and fill out our Google form. This podcast is not intended to serve in the place of psychological therapy or counseling services. If you or someone you know is experiencing mental health challenges, please seek support outside of the podcast. Please utilize our Instagram resource link list for national resources, in various therapy modalities. We are calling out to artists for collaboration, for partnership, to showcase your works with the platform. If you or someone you know is looking to collaborate, slide into our DMs.